are filled with praises, and when they escape our hearts and flow from our lips, all is well with our soul.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started in our study of Ephesians.
Last week we talked about being filled with God's Spirit. We talked about the benefits of being filled with God's Spirit. The benefits of knowing that God Himself dwelt within us, that we were the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in that filling, we received His wisdom liberally when we asked. We received understanding, we received knowledge, we received all manner of workmanship that we would need for whatever it is that God commissioned us to do. God's desire is for us to be filled with His Spirit, that the lines of communication between He and us would continually be open, that it was our sin or the deceitful lusts of the world that created static in our communication, and that it was imperative for us to have clear communication with the Lord that we might hear Him and obey. We looked at Galatians 5:16 that said, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So my question is, how do you be filled with the Spirit? A commentator by the name of Andrew Murray wrote, "I do not want to lay down the way in which it is to come to you, but I want you simply to take your place before God and say, 'My Father, whatever it may mean, that is what I want.' If you come and give yourself up as an empty vessel and trust God to fill you, God will do His own work." He continues with, "And now the simple question as to the steps by which we come to be filled with the Spirit. I shall note 4 steps in the way by which man can attain this wonderful blessing. He must say, 'I must have it. I may have it. I will have it.' And then last, thank God, I shall have it." Let your mind decide to have it. Know, especially from God's word, that you may have it. Determine to have it, and then commit to the journey of "I shall have it." Think in terms of God's faithfulness to complete what He has begun in us. Remind yourself that you will have it because you may have it, and therefore you must have it. It is an attitude, a commitment to the truth of God, to the knowledge and the truth of His faithfulness, that you can boldly come before His throne of mercy and grace and petition Him to be overflowing with His Holy Spirit. We already, as believers in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, have the deposit of God's Spirit. It is just our sin that interrupts the communication. We must come boldly before the Lord, confess our sin, receive His forgiveness, receive the cleansing and the filling of His righteousness, stand up, and then go boldly before the throne of grace and mercy and say, "Lord, overflow me. Flow out of me with torrents of living water as you said you would." Let your mind decide to have it. Know that you may have it. Determine to have it. And then commit to the journey of having it. We must not be satisfied with just a little bit of the Spirit. Be satisfied with my fire insurance, my token of God's Spirit within us. Remember that we're being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. We are his ambassador. How can we possibly be an authentic, sincere ambassador if our lines of communication are cut? We need to be eager to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. We need to desire to be a holy temple for the Holy Spirit. We need to desire to be used to be the overflowing living water of His Spirit on the parched and perishing world. So what's the byproduct of being filled with His Spirit? Continuing in Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, submit one to another. Remember that Ephesians is telling us of our worth, telling us of our walk, and will later tell us of the warfare that we should expect and how to deal with it. Right now we're learning how to walk, but not only individually, but we're learning how to walk in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We are his bride. We are his temple. We are the body of Christ. We need to understand how to walk that we might walk in unity with one another. More of that next week when we talk about submission. It's a very important topic. But today I want to take a look at the byproducts of being filled with his Spirit. Most splendid byproduct is the byproduct of music and melody and singing and giving thanks, of worship. Being filled with the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, living in the truths and the glorious promises that God has given us in His Word should delight our heart. But that mandates that His Word and His promises and His truths have made the journey from our head knowledge to our heart knowledge. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. I love how the Complete Jewish Bible puts it. It says, I treasure your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Understanding that sin is the interruption of the communication with his Spirit dwelling in us. It's God that is working in us to will and do of his good pleasure. How can we possibly walk in that pleasure if our communication is interrupted with static of sin? When we hide his word, his promises, and the testimonies of his faithfulness in our heart, we're standing on solid ground. We know already the deliverance from sin that we've received. And we have his word that reveals his faithfulness to those who walked previously, as well as our own personal testimony of his faithfulness to hold us uprightly today. And then we have his word and again his faithfulness and again his promises to keep us in perfect peace, or as the Hebrew says, shalom, shalom, for all the days that lay ahead. We need fear no man. Faith, fabulous adventures in trusting him. Saints, that's the foundation we stand on, faith. It's impossible to please him without faith, because faith is trusting him. Faith is believing him. Faith is praising him, authentically praising him. There's no weapon that's formed that's going to prosper against those of us that are filled with his Spirit. What better reason for melodies and praise songs to erupt from us? If we have meditated in his word, knelt before him in worship and praise and adoration, taken his word to heart, songs of joy should erupt from us. Psalm 1 is a really great example of this. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Meditating, contemplating, dialoguing with the Lord about his word. He loves that kind of heart. Pulls us into his presence. It transforms us from feet walking on the filth of this earth to feet that have been washed by the Savior as he ministers to us. And all of a sudden we're seated with him in heavenly places and we're asking him to reveal the truths of heaven to us, to reveal the future of our existence with him. It's right there in his word. He has hidden nothing. Well, let me rephrase that. In Deuteronomy, it says that the revealed things are for us and for us to teach them to our children, but the hidden things are for him. But then it goes on in, I think it's Psalms or Proverbs, that says it is the hidden things for the king to find out. He loves it when we go on treasure hunts with him. He loves to guide and direct our steps into the amazing truths of his word. Just this study of Ephesians has revealed so much to us. It delivers us almost into delirium when we stop and just pause for a moment and think about all the glorious truths we've learned just in the book of Ephesians. Remember how I said at the beginning, it's like the Alps, the Swiss Alps? Because there's so many pinnacles of revelation that blow your mind, that give you those aha moments of, wow, Lord, you're amazing. Happy is the man who doesn't walk, stand, or sit in fellowship or relationship with the world, but his delight, his desire, his purpose, his value is in the law of the Lord. This is where true fellowship is, and the benefit, the blessing, the power, the peace, the strength, even the solace, and the rest is in his word. The word psalms, that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the word psalms actually means a set piece of music or a sacred ode. Think about that. This is how we're supposed to communicate, not only with God, but with one another. We're supposed to be coming to one another, seeing them as God sees them. Being ministers one to another. Again, we'll talk about that next week. A sacred ode. It seems like from creation, God's been creating a sacred ode. And at the conclusion of this basic training here on earth, there's going to be a rhapsody in heaven. The most splendid symphony. I love classical music. I love how it ministers. Think about heaven. When all of this is revealed and when we know as we're known, what a symphony. It seems like God has been doing this sacred ode from the beginning. In Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork." A commentator once wrote, "God created the universe so that it would display the worth of his glory, and he created us so that we would see this glory and reflect it by knowing and loving it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength." In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." To praise God means to call attention to his glory. Our job is to call attention to his glory. That happens as the relationship with him, with his word, with our Lord and Savior Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, becomes real. God has provided everything that we need for life and godliness, it says in Peter. God has given us His Spirit to guide us into all truth. He Himself has come in the form of humanity, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for our sin. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is what guides us through this journey. And when we depend consistently upon the Holy Spirit, and we have hidden His Word in our heart, we have meditated on it, we have discussed it with Him, we have sought His wisdom in His Word, it resounds in our heart. And then all of a sudden, this expectation starts to percolate up of what's to come next. We look at things differently. Do you know that in 1 Peter it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Now put all this together. The knowledge of Him, the filling of His Holy Spirit, the covering of His blood washing away our sins, clothing us in robes of righteousness. Are you feeling a percolating happening yet? Are new songs starting to come up? Do you just want to worship and praise Him? I hope so, because when you get to that state, all of a sudden you want to draw others into it. You want to be that peacemaker. You want to embrace them with the love of the Lord so that they can see His glory. And in His glory, His amazing, incredible love for them. As a worship leader, I love bringing God's Word into our worship time. I love it when we simply open up His Word and sing right out of the Psalms. For instance, Psalm 25. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I love that. Or Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Just singing out of His Word, bringing His Word before Him. It's a treasure. It's a treasured moment. It's an anointed moment. The Word of God are filled with praises. And when they escape our hearts and flow from our lips, all is well with our soul. I think one of my favorites is Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord. Just sing that over and over and over and over again. And it just brings such peace. Here's a small commentary from the Barnes Notes regarding the Psalms of David. It says, the Psalms of David were sung by the Jews at the temple, by the early Christian, and the singing of those Psalms has constituted a delightful part of public worship in all ages. They speak the language of devotion at all times. That's what praise is adoration, devotion. Another commentator says, likewise, the Bible is God's tool to attune the saddest strain of the human heart to the music and the harmony of heaven. And as the Word of God brings fresh insight into the glory, the holiness, and the love of God, you will constantly be renewed in your worship and praise by speaking unto yourselves in psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's encouraging to observe that today there seems to be a new desire among the body of Christ for true worship. The Lord encourages such to worship when He said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're filled with His Spirit. We need to be making music, singing psalms and hymns unto the Lord. And coupled with that is the attitude of our heart. Verse 20 now of verse 5 in Ephesians says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because ingratitude, unthankfulness produce bitterness, producing anger, producing wrath from a discontented place of ignorance. Our hearts need to be set on things above. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are already in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. He is faithful to complete what he's begun. Have you anchored that truth into your heart? It needs to be one of those tent pegs that holds you uprightly. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return therein. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job also went on to say, "Though thou slay me, I will trust thee." That's the right attitude of heart. In Hebrew chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Can you thank the Lord in all things? Can you trust his word to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death? Notice it doesn't say leave you in the shadow of death. It says he will walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. That's Psalm 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. This is part of that sanctification process we talked about last week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. The process of holding our vessels or our being, our bodies, our soul, our mind in holiness and honor, knowing his will for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." You see, when we set our mind on things above, we see the victory of Christ, the Lamb led to the slaughter, who opened not his mouth. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, bearing the shame, was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day rose again, conquering the only thing we need ever fear, and we need fear no more, death. He did it all for us. He loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. Giving thanks, especially when it's sacrificial. "I don't feel like being thankful right now, Lord. This is not comfortable. I don't like this." Whatever the antithesis to being thankful is for you, be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Because giving thanks acknowledges that we comprehend his truth. We comprehend he is with us always, that he never leaves us, that we are continually in his presence, and his plans for us are good, for a future and for a hope. That's Jeremiah 29:11. That we can call on him and he will answer and show us great and mighty things we know not. That's Jeremiah 33:3. And that he's faithful to complete what he's begun in us. Philippians 1:6, and that we are his masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10, and he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. These are all tent pegs, folks. Memorize them, commit them to memory, so that you can raise the shield of faith when the fiery darts of doubt of the enemy come at you, which they do continually. In faith, fabulous adventures in trusting him. In faith, praise him with thanksgiving. Trust his word. Trust his will and his work in us. He is building a mighty faith in each and every one of us for his glory. And when each individual mighty faith comes together, perfectly fitted with the other living stones in the body, we create a glorious temple for him. He is building a mighty faith in us for his glory. Remember earlier in Ephesians when we learned of the host in the heavens looking on us in wonder? Ephesians 3:10. We are a special people. We were chosen. We were redeemed. We were purposed for his glory. When you look at the heavens in the evening, all the stars in the skies, can you help but marvel? When you look at a sunrise or a sunset, do you not marvel? When you walk in a redwood forest or on the tropical shorelines or even into a nursery of a newborn baby who smiles up at you or a puppy in a pack of puppies that chooses you and runs up to you or even a heartfelt hug, do you not marvel? God is good and God is glorious. He's blessed us with so much. He's blessed us with himself in Jesus, himself in his spirit. He's blessed us with the knowledge of himself. What would hinder us from praising him in spirit and in truth? Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 4, 23 and 24 said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." It's time, saints, for us to set our hearts and minds on things above. When we do that, we can't help but be grateful. When we hide his word in our hearts and let it be the cause of our joy, we can't help but continually praise him with thanksgiving. Let there be a new song in your heart today. Pause. Look about you. See all the causes you have to worship the Creator. Be grateful and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual melodies. Next week, we'll talk about submitting to one another in the fear of God. Keep this mindset because it's the ultimate goal for the bride.
Have a blessed week and join us again next week for the Hope of Our Calling.
For more information on Hope of Our Calling, go to agapechapeloc.org/Kendra or by email at kendramartinministries@gmail.com.